Barbara Jean Beaver was the first child born in 1945 in Rowan County, North Carolina. She was born at 2 in the morning, and she was the second daughter of Floyd and Lucille Beaver. Now, Floyd wasn't there when Barbara Jean was born. Floyd was fighting in the war. He was in Germany. So Barbara Jean was brought into the world by the doctor that she had for the most of her life, to her mother and to her loving older sister, Sandy. Well, Barbara Jean's life kind of took a difficult turn not too long after she was born, for you see, she never got to meet her father, Floyd. Floyd was killed in action in Germany just 3 months after Barbara was born. So Barbara grew up in a household of women, in a household of strong women. Lucille cared for her daughters and built a life for them. And Barbara looked up to her older sister, Sandra. Sandra was 4 years older than her and just so gregarious and involved in so many things. And Barbara would look up to her and try to emulate her in her life. Barbara was a pretty, pretty woman. An especially pretty young girl. She was a baton twirler. And there's wonderful pictures of her in her baton hat and her marching in front of the parade. But lest you think that she was just a girly girl, no. Barbara was known for being one of the top sandlot football players in the neighborhood. Yes, she had a feisty streak. And she was staunchly Lutheran. Her and her family went to the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Rockville, North Carolina, where they were pillars of that community. Well, as Barbara grew up, as happens for youngsters, they find someone that's important to them. And Barbara saw and found in this young man named Bob quite a catch. Well, at first, it wasn't quite planned that way. You see, there was a Luther League hayride, and Bob went to the Country Lutheran Church Union, and he needed a date, and his girlfriend was not able to go. So he asked Barbara, because she was safe. She had a boyfriend too. And so Barbara went, and that sparked a relationship that extends to this day. Indeed, they broke up with those boyfriends and girlfriends and became almost inseparable. And they got married in the Lutheran church. They got married and they decided to take their life another step. You see, this Bob decided to become a Lutheran pastor. And so Barbara became a pastor's wife. She helped to put Bob through seminary, and at the very end of their seminary days, they decided to have children. And during their senior year, Barbara had a little red-headed, rambunctious child named David. Now, what was interesting is that this rambunctious child of theirs certainly gave them a lot of hard times over the years, but Barbara was a wonderful mother to this rambunctious redhead. Indeed, she became a wonderful mother to the angelic child that was born next, named Barbara Suzanne, known as Susie. And Barbara went about loving her husband and her children in such a way that it helped truly make that family a family. Now, as you have probably guessed, especially in light of what today is, you probably know who Barbara is. Barbara Jean Beaver is my mother, Barbara Young. And on this day, I think of her, and I think of the prominent position she holds in the shaping of my life of faith. Now, full disclosure, I predominantly use male imagery for God. I talk about God as He all the time. I pray to our Heavenly Father And I use that kind of language, even though I was taught better in seminary, but I still do. Heidi keeps me on my toes with that. But the reality is, even though I do that because perhaps it's what I've traditionally done, maybe it's just more comfortable to me. When I think about this day, I have to be honest and say that it is actually the image that my mother has portrayed of who God is that probably shapes me as much as anything in my whole life. Images are important, especially our image of who God is. If you see God as the angry judge, as the old man in the beard just looking to write up demerits on your behavior in your life, well, that's going to shape how you live, isn't it? It might actually lead you to live in fear. Now, Martin Luther was interesting. Martin Luther talked about how we should fear and love God. And what he meant by that is to realize, give God the respect that God deserves. God is God, after all. The creator of all. There is some awe-inspiring nature to that indeed. Yet he also says we're to fear and love God. That we can actually dare to do that. What is the image that you hold of God? What is the image that guides your living? Is it of the angry judge? It is of the stern parent? It is of the loving mother? They could be all of those. And I know that in my life, the image that I have of a God who is absolutely, unabashedly committed to me and to my well-being and to my abundance and to your well-being and to your abundant living, that comes to me as I think about my mom, who is so committed to me, even when she shouldn't be. Even when I drove her to her last nerve, as she would say. But I know there is nobody that loves me as much as she does in a lot of ways. In fact, my father gave me this advice when I was looking for a bride. He said, David, find a woman who will love you even when your mama stops loving you. I think I found that. At least I hope so. But that's the power of what my mother's love has been for me in my life. And it's given me this image of who God is that is so powerful. Of a God who is so committed and loving and wants every bit for my life to be as abundant as it could ever be. Indeed, in our lesson today, when Jesus is talking about love, he says the thing about the friends and about no one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. When Jesus gives us an image of God, notice what he does. He doesn't use the mother imagery, but he uses the father imagery, which is still as provocative. Because what he's saying is our God is like the heavenly parent. Indeed, Abba has such a different connotation. It's not just father. It's almost akin to dad. That intimate relationship that Jesus has with the Father. He abides in him and I in him, Jesus says. He says, as you abide in me, we abide with the Father. Jesus says that we can have that kind of intimate relationship with God that is so powerful and provocative that sometimes we don't even understand it ourselves. But I get to it in a way through my mom. Because talk about laying down one's life. I look at what my mother has done for the life of our family. The way she serves. The way she takes care of us. The way there's nothing is more important than what we need. And what will help us be the best we can be. My mom has been that image of God. It's helped me to experience God. And I know that I can only hope to do that as well for my kids. I know that not every person in this room, not every person in this world has that same image in their own head. Unfortunately, not we all don't have great parental images. But I do know this. There are people in your life that can give you that. There are people who, for whom you know, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your children, maybe it's an aunt, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a great teacher or coach or professor, or somebody who you can look to and say, that person cared deeply about who I am and what my life is, and I can tell you that that image is the image of God. Because that is who God is. For you and for me and for this world. That is what Jesus came to portray to us. That the God who will serve us, the God who will sacrifice for us, the God who will love us and be committed to us beyond any doubt, is the image that we have and should have and can have of who God is. And so for me, I say our Father all the time. I talk about God as He, and I will continue to do so. But make no mistake, when I think of God, I think of a mom. Loving mom. A perfect mom. A mom who would do anything for us. And anything to help us know how loved we are. How loved you are. Make no mistake. That is who our God is. For you and for me. And for this world. In Jesus' name. Amen.